Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Louisiana's been an open primary system for decades, and we now move to a closed party primary for the offices of U.S. House, U.S. Senate, Louisiana Supreme Court, Public Service Commission, and the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. And here to talk to us about how you go about voting, how it works, what it means, is Nancy Landry, the Louisiana Secretary of State. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us, because a lot of people have a lot of questions, and most folks that I've talked to thought that this applies to all races, and I told them, no, it doesn't. It's a limited few, but it is a big change in the manner we go about voting.
It is. It's a significant change. The legislature decided to do this, and I didn't take a position on the legislation, but I did ask them to give us sufficient time so that we could educate voters and train our poll commissioners and our registrars of voters and make sure that we were able to implement it with integrity. So we do have some big changes coming up, and we want voters to know about it. And so we've launched an educational campaign. We have 5 educational videos on our website now at govote.com, so you can take a deep dive there. But we also just want to make sure that everybody checks their voter registration and makes sure that they're registered with the party that they want to be affiliated with, because the party you're affiliated with is going to determine which ballot you get in the May 16th and June 27th elections.
So coming up May 16th and June 27th, which is the first primary in the general election, right, for whatever races are, what races are going to happen
there? The primary runoff. It's the primary and the primary runoff. So the general election will be in the fall, and the winners of those primary elections will advance to the general in the fall. And that election, anybody will be able to vote for the candidate of their choice. There's no restrictions on that one. But in the May election and in the June primary runoff, Democrats can only vote in the Democratic Party primary. Republicans can only vote in the Republican Party primary, and no party or unaffiliated voters, voters who are not affiliated with a party, they can choose which party primary they want to participate in. But they have to stick with that selection through the party primary runoff.
And they can and obviously they're free to do whatever they want in the general election, which would occur in the fall. Now, a lot of people don't realize there are a lot of other party affiliations, the Green Party, Libertarian, and other party names. Are these parties that have to be recognized by the state, and what happens there?
Right. Only the Republican and Democratic Party will have party primaries. The other parties, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, they will first appear on the ballot. Their candidates will first appear on the ballot in the general election. And those registered voters who are registered with other parties like the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, or if they wrote in the name of a party, they will not be able to participate in the closed party primary races for those five races that you mentioned. But there will still be other things on the ballot that are regular open primary like you're used to. So they will still vote in the election, just not in those closed party primaries. And that's why it's important to check your voter registration to see what your party affiliation is, because that's going to determine which ballot you get.
So let's talk about the party primary system. So we have a Democratic Party primary, Republican Party primary, and you have everyone running. And if you end up with obviously more than two candidates running for a particular race, what happens in the first primary of the party primary?
So in the first primary, if you are a Republican candidate or a Democratic candidate, you have to participate in the primary, and all of the Republicans will be running against each other in one primary, all the Democrats in another. If there is a clear winner, 50% plus one, that person goes to the general in the fall. If there's not a clear winner with 50% plus one majority, then there will be a party primary runoff in June. And the winner of that party primary runoff will then advance to the general in the fall. And so it is a majority wins in the party primaries. But then in the general election in the fall, it'll be a plurality. Whoever gets the plurality will be the winner in these closed party primary races.
So
we will have a winner on election day in November.
So let's say there's five candidates on the May ballot. No one gets 50 plus one. The two highest vote getters are on the ballot in June, right?
And correct.
Obviously, one of those folks are going to have 50 plus one, and they would move to the general, to the full general election
in the fall. In November, that's when the general election is, and that's where they will face the winner of the other primary, plus any green candidates, libertarian candidates, or no party candidates. That they'll also be on the general election ballot in November.
And in the full general election ballot, because you could have more than two candidates, more than just the Democrat or the Republican, and the Republican, I should say.
Right.
Then
right.
In that vote, it's a plurality. So if the highest vote getter gets 49% or 48% of the vote, that person actually wins.
That's right. That's correct. And that's a change from before. And so these are all changes we want voters to know about, which is why we've been doing this robust educational campaign. We've done direct mail. We're doing TV ads, radio ads, social media, internet ads, and we're partnering with the university athletic programs, as well as going out in person and doing outreach events, because we want every voter to know that these changes are coming, so they're not surprised when they get to the polls in May.
So I'm sure there are deadline dates. They always are. If you want to change your party affiliation, and it's probably worth everybody's while to go check, right? Because I believe some of the nomenclature has changed, right? Is that correct?
If you were previously an independent, you are now considered no party. We just made everyone is no party or unaffiliated voters.
Right.
That's the only nomenclature that's changed.
That's changed. So it is, and I'm sure that's going to serve to confuse people. And they're going to be asking,
they did that. The legislature did that to resolve confusion, because the independent voters thought they were unaffiliated. What they didn't know is that they were actually a part of a party, and they would not have been able to vote in the closed party primaries. And so they changed it to resolve that confusion. And so it's actually going to be less confusing now with that. with that change, because the people who were previously independents will now be able to vote in the closed party primary races.
So if we if I'm no party affiliation, just so everyone knows how this is going to operate, I can pick and choose what party primary I want to participate in. But once I choose, I'm in it to the bitter end, right, of that party primary system. So if I choose Democrat, I'm in it till the fall general election, as well as the Republican side.
Until the party primary is over, and then once you're right in the general election, you can vote for whoever you want, whichever candidate you want.
Correct.
But you have to stick with the closed primaries and the primary runoff. You have to be consistent. And so we'll be asking voters when they come to the polls, do you want to vote in? If they're no party voter, we will ask them, which ballot do you want? Do you want the Republican ballot, the Democratic ballot, or a unaffiliated ballot? And they will if they pick a Republican or Democrat, they have to pick that one again for the primary runoff as well.
What are you hearing most from voters that are calling and asking about this and trying to educate themselves about it?
So they're, one of the things they're asking is, you know, why are these changes coming? And these are changes that the legislature made, and at the behest of the governor. It's not something that my office initiated, and we didn't take a position on this. We're just trying to implement it with integrity. We asked for extra time to be able to educate voters. And so they seem to be open to it right now, the people that we're reaching, and we're just trying to reach as many as we can. We're encouraging everyone to check their voter registration at our website, and that's govote.com, GEAUX.com. And if you want to go straight to the closed party primary information, it's govote.com/CPP. And that's CPP for closed party primary. So govote.com/CPP, and you can find the videos there that explain it to you. You can get all the information that you need, and you can be ready to vote in the May 16th election. And the deadline you asked about earlier, the deadline to change your registration is April 15th to do it in person or by mail, and it's April 25th to do it online. So those are important deadlines, because you won't be out April 15th, the same as tax day, so you can remember that. When your taxes are due, you also need to make sure you check your voter registration and make sure that you're registered and affiliated with the party you want to be affiliated with. And then the deadline to do it online is April 25th. That's for the May 16th election.
So folks are asking, how will this impact mail-in voters?
So that's a great question. And when you request an absentee ballot, the registrar will then send a letter asking which ballot the voter wants. Do they want to vote with a Republican ballot or Democratic ballot or an unaffiliated ballot? And then they'll send that ballot to them. And it works the same way as if they had voted in person. They'll then be locked in to that primary until that primary is over. So it's similar to voting in person.
So if for new voters, 18-year-olds that become of age and are now able to vote, and they want, you know, this terminology of independent is still floating around, obviously. If they desire to be an independent, then for our purposes of this system, you are unaffiliated. Is
correct.
You have no party or unaffiliated.
No party voter. And it previously in the law in Louisiana, there was a prohibition against naming a party the independent party because of the confusion that it causes for voters. And so the legislature opted to reenact that prohibition because of it did cause confusion when they allowed it briefly. And so they just reenacted that prohibition that says a party can't be called the independent party, because voters who join that party think that they're not affiliated with a party. And so that the law just reflects that now, and it went back to the way it was previously.
Final thoughts. The two important dates, April the 15th, if you would explain that one more time, of the deadline dates.
April the 15th is the deadline to change your registration, either in person or by mail. And that's in person at your registrar or voter's office, or by mail. But you can continue to do it online until April 25th. And the most important thing I want your listeners to remember is that we want you to check your voter registration at govote.com or on the GoVote mobile app, and make sure that your registration is current and that you are registered and affiliated with the party you want to be affiliated with. And also, this only applies to those five races that you mentioned: Congress, U.S. House, U.S. Senate, State Supreme Court, PSC, and BESI. And there will be other races that are open primary on ballots in the spring as well. So it'll be a mix. So it's likely everyone will have something on their ballot. They just need to check and use our GoVote mobile app to check their ballot at the time. But you can do everything through our app.
I know you're looking forward to those, to that date. It'll be confused. I said, I know you're looking forward to that day, because it's going to be confusing. And I'm so glad that y'all are doing these educational sessions, because, you know, I've been involved for a long time. I had to read through the rules a couple of times. Okay, let me get this straight. What do we do?
this is a change the legislature made, and we're doing our best to get the word out and let people know about the changes. We've started early. And we made these educational videos that are available on our website. And like I said, we'll be doing TV ads, radio ads. We've already sent direct mail to every voter household. So we're doing everything we can to get voters educated about the changes coming up, so they're not surprised when they get to the polls and that they know what to expect. And I feel like, you know, we do this.
Go ahead.
Vote.
I'm sorry.
It's GEAUX.
UX. That's what I was going to say. Right. So, folks, get out there, check that out. Nancy Landry, Secretary of State for the great state of Louisiana, thank you so much for joining us. We'll probably have you back before that deadline date, because I think it's important enough that people get it right, and you don't want to wait and walk in to your poll and just be totally confused and discombobulated about how all of this is working, and anticipating that you're going to be able to do something and you're not going to be able to do it. Because the ballot's going to...
Absolutely. I'll come back as many times as you'd like. We want voters to get all the information we can give them.
Well, thank you so much. We truly appreciate it. Keep up the great work and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Nancy Landry, the Secretary of State for the state of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks, with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, talking about the Saints and the Miami Dolphins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Folks, just a reminder, LSU will host a press conference to introduce new head football coach Lane Kiffin, and we'll bring it to you live on WWL AM/FM and WWL.com and streaming on the Odyssey app, all brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Get to know your head coach on your home for the purple and gold, WWL. It's going to be a very exciting press conference. A lot of excitement around this hiring. Big numbers, I think $13 million a year for 7 years. Joining us now is Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, here to talk about the outcome of the Saints-Miami game. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, there was a Saints game yesterday. I feel like we got like third billing behind like the Lane Kiffin hire and the Sumrall hire over at Florida. But yeah, there was a football game too.
It is amazing how many major college football organizations are out looking for head coaches right now. Yep. I was teasing Tommy Tucker, asking him who's he going to coach next year. You know, it's crazy.
No doubt. Yeah, and they really need to do something about the schedule, because, like, I get it. Coaches need to find opportunities, but anytime you're in this situation that Lane is in, which I don't know, I'm not. I felt like the LSU fired Brian Kelly. They fired Scott Woodward, and like, we're going to do things differently. And then they ended up doing the exact same thing. I kind of feel like it's a little redundant, but either way, like, the fact that if you are a coach, like even Sumrall, who's led a team to the college football playoff effectively, or at least on the precipice of it, in order to take that next step to an SEC program, you have to abandon your team in the middle of that run. It just feels wrong. And the schedule is the reason, because if you don't, you're going to be behind the eight ball in recruiting, and then you're probably going to have a harder time succeeding at that next job. So it's just, they really got to do something about it, because it just, you're not doing these athletes right, and the coaches really don't have any choice. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that they find a way, because it just seems gross.
Yeah, you know, I asked this question of not only, you know, college football, but in the NFL as well. When does the ceiling come tumbling down? I mean, you know, the numbers that we're talking about, the contracts that we're talking about, these numbers are mind-numbing, and they keep growing every year. And obviously, I guess the NFL recognizes they got to improve audience share. Now they're moving to Europe in order to create new markets out there, the potential in new markets, which is all about new money, new wallets, right?
Yeah, it's a lot different in the NFL, just in the sense that you can account for all the money. Like, you know how much you're paying your quarterback. You know how much you can only pay them so much. And it's kind of the wild, wild west in college right now, where, you know, there's no cap on it. It's just going to keep rising until people say, no, this is the most we can pay. And then there's the NIL budgets. And, you know, it's I guess it's a good thing it's not all under the table anymore, but it's, I don't know. In the NFL, it's just kind of strange, because, you know, just to kind of pivot back to football, like, you look at the Dolphins, and, you know, they're paying Tua Tagovailoa $53 million a year. I don't know if you watch that game, you're like, that guy? That's the guy? That's the $53 million a year quarterback? But it's like, you can't extend your quarterback. You can't re-sign your quarterback now, even if they're in their top 15, without paying out an insane contract. Like, Brock Purdy is making $60 million a year. Like, it makes it so, hey, you know, the Saints, if you're in a position where you do feel like, and I feel like we've talked about this already, but if you do feel like you can roll forward with the rookie quarterback for a couple of years, I mean, you look at what some of these teams are spending on that quarterback line item, and you're looking at a clean, like, $2 million. It does provide an advantage. It's why the Seahawks were able to have that kind of multi-year Super Bowl contender run with Russell Wilson on his rookie contract. Dak Prescott with the Cowboys was similar, but they never got to the postseason. But no, the numbers are astronomical, and now you're seeing wide receivers, you know, they're all making $30 million. Your outside cornerbacks are making in the $20 million range. it becomes, you know, I wish teams would be a little bit more, you know, dig their heels in a little bit more when it comes to like, no, we can't reset the market with every new contract. It just doesn't make sense. Like, there are times to reset the market, but it happens so flippantly that it's just become this like ridiculous, hey, how can you field a competitive team if you're paying your quarterback and your wide receiver and your top wide receiver like $90 million combined? It just doesn't compute.
Yeah. And you know what's also interesting is as you look across the NFL, so I took like the teams that have the, you know, bad records at this point in time and kind of went out to those stations that were airing those games and were looking at the attendance. It was pretty abysmal. I know it's a holiday weekend. I get that. Maybe it's a better judge next weekend, but they not a lot of people in the stands. There were not a lot of people in the stands in Miami. Of course, it was raining like all hell, but, I mean, it was looked pretty empty on TV.
Yeah, there were moments throughout the game that I think people were hiding in the concourse. I actually felt like at points there was a decent crowd, you know, and they were very quiet. It was weird because, you know, I felt like they at halftime it was like, well, we won this game, and then all of a sudden it got close, and you know there was the Saints went for the 2-point conversion. I think one of the reasons there was a false start was because that was the first time all day I was aware there was a crowd. Like, it just got incredibly loud for that one play. And it was like, oh, they can get loud. But no, I mean, it's a weird time of year, right? Because you're talking about some teams that are still in the fringe. Like, they're in the hunt graphic. Like, the Dolphins probably feel that way right now. They got 5 wins, but they're right on the fringe. If they can get it, if they can put another couple of wins in a row, they might force themselves into that conversation. And then you have teams like the Saints that even in a weak division that's kind of up for grabs, you look at the Panthers and the Bucs are kind of just right there. Even the Falcons are right there despite the season they're having. And the Saints are completely outside of that picture, which, you know, the Titans, the Jets, the Raiders, you know, it's a very demoralizing place to be for sure.
So let's talk about the game. Why don't we start with the quarterback while we were talking about quarterbacks? Your thoughts on Shucks, you know, and what he was able to accomplish yesterday?
Yeah, you know, the slow starts have just been a theme, and it's a theme that's not going away. You know, I think this is another example of particularly early in the game. You know, the Saints offense and the quarterbacks, whether it be Rattler or Shuck, have not handled kind of high blitz rate teams that muddy up the picture and make you operate off schedule and do things post snap. Like, you know, this was the third matchup against the team that was top 5 in blitz rate, and it's the third time they've been held to 3 or fewer points in the first half. The other two were the Bucs and the Falcons. You're going to see the Bucs again next week. We'll see if they handle it a little bit better. But it's just frustrating. You know, you watch the defense, and I thought the defense actually, outside of that opening drive, which was ugly, I thought they handled themselves pretty well, but you just send them back on the field over and over and over again. I think their first 5 drives, the Saints' first offensive 5 offensive possessions of the game, they ran 16 plays. They had 4 three and outs in one drive that they ran 4 plays and then fumbled the ball. The Saints got the ball back. The defense, Kool-Aid, intercepted the ball on the next play, so they got the ball right back to the offense, and what they do, they go 3 and out again. So that's just frustrating, and you got to find a way to manufacture offense early in the game. I will say, for a rookie quarterback, a lot of times it's, you know, you don't expect a rookie to kind of rein it back in and bounce back from a half like that. Like, a lot of times you'll see rookies come out, look good to start the game, and then gradually the defense figures them out. They become less effective. We saw that against the Giants, right? When Jackson Dart, in his second or third career start, they went out and scored touchdowns on their first 2 possessions of that game. They didn't score again. They turned the ball over on 5 straight possessions. That's what you expect to see out of a rookie. And the confidence-inspiring part of that game is you were able to kind of claw it back. You were able to run offense, and he was able to stay composed. You know, there was a point in the first half that things were going poorly, and I saw him kind of going up and down the sideline, talking every position group, being like, guys, we just need to keep doing it. Like, it's going to pop. We're going to get it. We're close. And that was the case in the second half. He had a couple nice drives, 3 drives for points. Obviously, the 56-yard field goal, he'd love that to be closer, but, you know, you were able to knock it in. And You executed the first 2-point conversion. The second one didn't go so well. That was from the 7-yard line. But no, you see the flashes, and that's what you need to see. It's a rookie quarterback in his fourth career start. Not going to be perfect, but he's giving you a chance, and that's what you can hope for. And you just need to continue to see the steps forward, correcting mistakes. You're going to get rooked a few times. That interception in the first half, I think, was kind of a rookie situation. The Roswell Douglas kind of read the throw, jumped the route. Olave and Shuck weren't on the same page. Olave kind of sat it down. Shuck expected him to maybe get a bit more width, and the ball just went right to Douglas. The 2-point conversion, you know, if he had it back, he probably put a little more air under it so that Vele can go up and get it rather than Minka Fitzpatrick being able to undercut it. And these are all things that's like, yeah, you're seeing a lot of these things for the first time. You know, these were Tyler Shuck's first 2 2-point conversion attempts in his career, and one of them was from the 7-yard line. So, you know, it's frustrating. You lose another game. You're sitting there 2-10. But there is some reason for optimism to think, hey, okay, there's a quarterback here that's finding his way. And, you know, you're just going to kind of see how that develops over the final 5 games.
A little disappointing on the 4th-and-1. I think we actually lost a yard. it comes down to a big play of the game, right?
Yeah, short yardage has not been kind to the Saints this year. And it's so... I don't know. Sometimes last week we came out of it saying, well, there's so much Taysom Hill. Why is there so much Taysom Hill? This week it's like they overcorrected and we're like, we're not even going to use it at all, even in the situations that it tends to have worked, like 4th-and-1 in the middle of the field, you know? It's kind of like all or nothing, right? Either you're drinking through a fire hose or the water's off. Because I think those 4th-down situations in the middle of the field, those have been effective. It's the red zone reps that haven't worked. They tried to do a push for the first time in a while, and the Saints have just been abysmal in those short yardage situations when they just have to have it, you know? And you can kind of see it, like, it was very transparent. I was a little disappointed in the play calling after that. You know, they should have had a go-ahead touchdown in that game if Chris Olave just holds on to the dang ball, which you got to do that. I mean, you got to catch that ball, Chris. And so from there, it just felt like, kind of disjointed. They rolled out on 3rd down. I thought Shuck had the opportunity to maybe try to run for a 1st down. He only needed a yard just to kind of extend it. It looked like he was a little too conscious of the clock, which really wasn't a factor at that stage. He had the timeout. The important thing was extending the drive, and instead he threw it away. And he wasn't really under pressure to throw it away. There's a couple examples in that game where I felt like there was opportunities to be had, and I don't want to say panicked, but he gave up on a play a little earlier than I want to see. And then the 4th down call, it's like, yeah, it's 4th-and-1. Let's do the least creative thing on the planet. I would have been fine with that on 3rd down. At least then they wouldn't have necessarily been geared up for it. But no, there's always, it seems like you come out of every game with a handful of these sketchy kind of decisions that you can second guess. At the end of the day, losing teams find ways to lose. And I think that drive was just kind of an example of that. Like, you gave yourself a chance you didn't expect to have, and you just did not deliver on it, despite having opportunities.
Yeah, the pass to Olave, I mean, it was the only place the ball could be placed in order to catch it. And, you know, the difference between those that do and those that don't are the ones that make those types of catches at critical points in the game, because that changed the whole that would have changed the whole complexion of the game at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you win the game, right? You go up by 3.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, like, the real frustrating thing is you saw one of the most rare plays in sports, which is a 2-point conversion, run back for 2 points the other direction. And if not for that, if all you've done is thrown it out of the back of the end zone, if you get sacked, if you spike it into the ground, that's a 2-point game. And instead of going on 4th-and-1, you're attempting a 53-yard field goal for the win, which, I don't know, that 56-yarder right from Charlie was pretty spot on. I felt pretty confident he could knock that through. So, you know, it's one of those things that, hey, you know, I guess you want the best draft pick possible. The season's kind of lost. So at the end of the day, you know, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, that's just one of those things where, you know, losing teams lose. That said, yeah, Chris, it almost looked like he was surprised to have the ball because he was kind of covered and the guy fell down. And he got to catch that ball. You got to catch it. Like, that's a game-winning type play for your best player, your best offensive player in a critical moment. The rookie quarterback puts it where it needs to be. The wide receiver's got to catch that ball. There's just no way around it. And he
knows in Miami, Yeah. Miami almost gives you the gift and watches the onside kick.
I mean, two guys actually watch
the ball go right by him, and it's like, okay.
Well, you got to give the kicker credit for that, right? Because that kicked it with the kind of helicopter. They're just like, I don't want any part of this, because you know it's rare to see a team actually execute that. And honestly, I don't think they did. I think they got it to about 9.7 yards. And they got bailed out by the fact that the refs ruled that the other team touched it. I don't know if they did. They were really, the refs in that game were really leaning on the call stands, indisputable video evidence part of it. It happened three times where it was like, that could be overturned. But, you know, and I appreciate that. That's how it's supposed to be ruled. If you don't know, you're not supposed to assume. And a lot of times I get annoyed because refs tend to assume when it's like, you can't see it. But no,
well, the ref made the right call, you know, to start. And then you can see the muscle on the calf of that player where the ball hit it, and you can see the wave of the muscle, you know, in a slow mo, you know, it was kind of incredible, and you pull that off, and then, you know, whatever. I mean, you got to
give the special teams credit for the Saints, because they scouted that play. They saw that the one, which is where Devon Bailey was, that was the position he was in. The Dolphins don't block that player on onside kicks. They knew he was going to get a free run. All he had to get was 10 yards, and they weren't going to want to touch that ball. They were just going to hope it would go out of bounds or he wasn't going to be able to catch it. And so they executed it. So you got to give special teams credit for that there, because it was really a play that they practiced, a play that they executed to perfection.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the end of the game, look, I'm disappointed, but I like that at the end of the game they were still being competitive. Right? The execution wasn't all there, but we were clawing, as you said earlier, we're clawing back into the game. You know, and it certainly kept my interest in the game. And, you know, when they pulled that recovery off, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, here we are, you know. And
there are a lot of different ways to protect a draft pick. If you can make it watchable at the same time and still not ruin your draft pick position, I guess that's the winning result for a 2-9 football team, right?
Yeah, I keep forgetting about all of that, though. that's too complex for my sports brain, that's for sure.
I hear you.
As always, Jeff Nowak, always enjoy the conversation, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Great job yesterday. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Newell. You have a good one.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Just a reminder, folks, that the LSU Fighting Tigers got their man, and they'll host a press conference to introduce new head football coach Lane Kiffin. We'll bring it to you live on WWL AM, FM, WWL.com, and streaming on the Odyssey app, all brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Get to know your new head coach on your home for the purple and gold right here on WWL. And wanted just to, as I was talking to Jeff Nowak, I don't know. One side of me, I was disappointed. The other side of the game, and I watched the entire game beginning to end. I like that in the end of the game that they were just clawing back, right? You know, that they came back and they scored points. They scored 17 points in the second half. You know, the game would have been 19-17, but they ran back that 2-point conversion. But they were clawing back. They were in the game. It always felt like it was like a play or maybe two or maybe three away from being a difference maker. And, yeah, we made mistakes. And, yeah, there were things that didn't go right. But, nonetheless, I thought they played a physical game. They hung in. The first half was ugly. You know, I'm sure like everyone else, feeling down and out about the performance there. But the way that they came back, and I thought Tyler Shuck did a good job. He made some rookie mistakes, obviously. And some of that, I think, may have been receivers, not necessarily the quarterback, not being on the same page as to what the quarterback's expectations are and what the receiver ever ended up doing. And sometimes we never really know what that is all about. So anyway, we'll see. They go to Tampa next week and play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Tampa, 12 noon start on December 7th. And then they come home for a two-game stand, I think. They play the Panthers at home, the Jets at home. And then the final two games of the season, they're away. They're at Tennessee and they're in Atlanta. A lot of football left for the Saints. And again, congratulations to the Green Wave, Tulane, Coach John Sumrall. They go to the conference championship against North Texas State, 7 p.m. start right there in Yulman Stadium. Beautiful stadium. Really, really like watching football there. And we wish them the best as well. And if they win Friday night, they are in the football playoffs. They may be in as the last seed, which makes it a tough road for them moving through that process. But they're there nonetheless. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.